If you would open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. You know, as I was preparing for this time and this day, asking the Lord, what is it that you would have me to share? And really my desire was to share something else. But God had told me in the beginning of in the end of last year, in the beginning of this year, this is your message for this year. If you go anywhere, this is what I want you to say. And so it is out of obedience that I want to share this with you today. So I'm going to ask if everybody would say, God bless Pastor Hill.
God bless Pastor Hill.
So you've already blessed me. So if you don't like what I have to say, it's too late. It's too late. You have already blessed me. Amen. Let me read verses 1-7. And it says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is one body, there is one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. I want to talk to you today about unity in the body. Unity in the body. Because we all understand that unity is an essential element of any group that seeks to work together. Whether it's on your job, whether it's an organization you are a part of, or you are on a team of some kind, we all understand that unity has to be the central focus. It's what makes a team not just a collection of individuals. It's what brings people together. You know, as Pastor mentioned, I'm a huge Spurs fan, having grown up here. But you know, one of my favorite coaches to watch in the NBA, I have to be honest with you, is Doc Rivers. Because when you come into the huddle sometimes, it's almost like a mini sermon in there sometimes. And I'll never forget one time when he was coaching and they were in those, you know how the games go, there's a moment around the third or fourth quarter where the game is hanging in the balance. And you can kind of tell, whoever surges at that moment can take control of the game. And there was one time he called a timeout because his team was starting to come unglued a little bit. And as he pulled them in the huddle, he said, guys, now is the time to pull in, don't pull apart. Pull in, but don't pull apart. And I believe today, as the body of Christ faces challenges that it never faced before, or that we haven't faced before maybe in this country, or as we see things take an unparalleled turn in our generation, I believe God would have us to say, it's time to pull in and don't pull apart. Because we have the unifier. See, everybody else has to come up with a reason to be unified. We've got to pursue a championship. We want to get a bonus. We want to be the top group in the city. We don't have to create a reason to be unified. Our unifier died on the cross many years ago and said, it is done. And so all of us who call on the name of Christ have a reason to be unified. William Barclay, the Scottish theologian, says, Christians are people who are drawn together because they owe a common debt to the goodness and the grace of God. We are drawn together because of what God has done, because his grace and what he's meant to us. So as we look at verse 1, and I want to look at each one of these, Paul starts off by saying, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called. And I'd like to start just there, if you would, because in order for you to efficiently and correctly walk in unity, you got to know who and what you are. See, I've never been in the Army. I've never been in the Navy, Air Force, or Marines. But my father was. But one of the things I do know is when you join those organizations, they ask you, to begin the first part of your enlistment in a boot camp. And in that boot camp, what they want to indoctrinate you with is, I don't know how you used to doing things. I don't know from what part of the country you come from. You may be black, white, Hispanic, or Chinese, but now you belong to us. And now we're going to show you how we do it. What you used to do don't matter. What you need to learn is, this is how we do it. And the reason they want to do that is because they want you to understand what you've been called to, what you signed up for, because you represent us now. So you can go in there if you want to, thinking, well, no, I'm from San Antonio. I'm from Third Ward. This is how we do it. You're going to quickly find out that, no, no, that's not how it works. One of the issues that we as believers have sometimes is we don't understand who and what we've been called to. So when God calls us to walk out and do things, walk out in unity, sometimes we want to revert to what we come from, what we've always been. So we've got to, you know, one of the best illustrations of this for me, you know, my kids are a lot older now, they're all teenagers. But when they were smaller, the number one movie in our house was The Lion King. Oh man, every Friday night was movie night. And every Friday night for a while it was Lion King. But you know, there was a scene in that movie that's so accurate to this. If you remember, jog your minds with me a little bit. So Simba is the young lion who's supposed to one day rule the pride. His father Mufasa dies. Simba, because he thinks it's his fault, flees the kingdom and is living in the jungle in a life that he's not called to live. So one day, the monkey comes to him and says, aren't you Mufasa's boy? He said, yeah. He said, man, I know Mufasa. He's a good man. He said, well, I'm sorry to tell you, but he's dead. The monkey said, no, he's not dead. He says, and if you come with me, I'll show him to you. So Simba says, what? So the monkey takes off through the jungle, and Simba's running behind him. He brings me, jump through trees, bushes. He brings him to the clearing in the path, and he says, now, look in there, and there's your father. Simba looks in the pool of water, and he says, it's just my reflection. The monkey tells him, look again. And he steers the water, and all of a sudden you see the reflection of his father. And then at that moment, the cloud rolls over the hills, and the spirit of his father comes, and the only voice who could play Mufasa, James Earl Jones. Come on now. You hear James Earl Jones say, Simba, Simba, why have you forgotten me? And then you hear the little boy in this grown lion's body say, Father, I would never forget you. He says, you've forgotten who you are, thus you've forgotten me. He said, and then he looks at him, he says, Simba, you are more than you become. I feel like the Lord is saying to us sometimes, you are more than you become. You've allowed the trivial things of this world to keep you disunified when I've called you to a spirit of unity. And I'm going to tell you, you know, one of the things that keeps us from that sometimes is Simba had to go a little ways, and he had to engage that monkey to find what God had wanted to say to him. See, sometimes we won't engage God like that. We won't go over the hills and through the jungle to hear what God is saying to us. See, Simba could have easily said, man, look, you said it was just going to be 10 minutes. You said he was right. I ain't going all the way over there now. But something was stirring in him that he says, if my father truly is alive, I got to exhaust every measure. See, there has to be something in us when it comes, and stay with me now. We're going somewhere. We're in a station wagon. We loaded up. We're moving. So stay with me now, stay with me. But I need to say this to you. There has to be something in you about the spirit of unity that steers in you that says, I'm willing to go all the way. Lord, I'm willing to go where you take me so that I can see and do what you called me to. I'm not happy just being who I am. I want to be what you called me to. So he says, you got to understand who you are, a prisoner of the Lord. And I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. You've been called to something royal. You've been adopted into the family of God. Yeah. I don't care what your criminal history is. I don't care how many PhDs you got on the wall. I don't care if your bank account is zero or if it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. Whether your car drips oil in the driveway or whether you exchange it every 3 months for a new one. All of us have been called to one God, one faith, one body, one Lord. And in that manner, we've been called to walk in unity. But in order to walk in unity, we all got to understand first, we're all in the same family. And when I say we're all in the same family, I'm talking about every nation creed. Everybody created that it accepted the Lord Savior as their Savior. So he starts us off that in verse 1 and says, "Here, know what you've been called to. Now here's what I want to talk to you about." In the next three passages, he lists three ingredients that foster unity and how those work in our lives. In verse 2, he says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love." I want to look at those three ingredients for just one moment. Let's look at humility, first of all. Because if you're going to walk in a spirit of unity, Paul says, you got to have humility. What does humility mean? Humility means to see yourself as God sees you, special, one of a kind, created you and just you, gave you your own fingerprint, but you know better than nobody else. You are special in all your ways, but you know better than nobody else. See, part of the issue in the body of Christ is there's not enough humility to say, you know what? I know I look good. I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of my accomplishments. But that don't make me any special in God's eyes than anybody else. That means that other person is just as valuable as I am. And when they open their mouth, what they got to say is just as important as what I got to say. When they offer there, when they bring themselves to the and their skills and their gifts to the talent in the body of Christ, they're just as acceptable as I am. But too many times, folks get caught up in the thinking, well, that ain't how I do it. And I got the degrees to show it. I come from a special lineage, and I don't know about all of that. When God is trying to get us to see, we're going to walk together. If there's going to be unity in the body, there's got to be humility. Meaning being willing to accept that God is the authority over life rather than insisting in being your own supreme authority. So before you can even humble yourself with your brothers and sisters, you got to humble yourself before God. You got to humble yourself. Before I can acknowledge that you have value, I got to first acknowledge that his value is the only one that counts. That he reigns supreme. I can't tell you how many times, and I'm a very opinionated person. People who can tell you that, I love debating and talking and arguing and all that stuff. Been doing it since I was a young, I love it. But you know, one of the things I've had to learn through the Holy Spirit, sometimes God said, David, shut your mouth. Be quiet. You need to listen. You know, nothing to humble you like marriage. When you done ran your mouth and talked about and said, hey, like y'all need to get it together. I remember early on in my marriage, I would get on my wife and like, how could you do that? You couldn't see that? I can't. And then the next week, who screws up? Me. And I begin to realize, David, sometimes you got to close your mouth. And you gotta show some humility. If we're gonna walk together, not just within the four walls, not within these four walls, I'm talking about the unified body of Christ. There's gotta be some humility. There's gotta be humility on all of us. He goes and he says, and gentleness. Let me just say, humility, pride promotes disunity, humility to promote unity. When people humble themselves, it's easy to get unity. When I'm willing to say, you know what, brother, I didn't think about that, but you sure right. I was going to do this, but sister, you know, that makes so much more sense. That breeds something within the body that says, man, okay, we're working together here. This thing is cooking. But when nobody wants to humble themselves, it promotes disunity. He goes on to say gentleness. And what is gentleness? Gentleness is meekness, meaning power under control. It's the opposite of self-assertion and rudeness and harshness. Moses was described as the meekest or most gentle man that ever lived, yet he had authority to lead the children out of Egypt. God's number one man. I was always told, if you got to go around telling everybody you the boss, then you ain't the boss. If you got to say it, then you ain't it. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Gentleness is you may have authority, but you don't have to always be flexing. Gentleness says, how do I handle and care my brothers and sisters? How do I work with them? You know, so at Restoration Community Church, one of the things out of the spirit of unity that we started doing that we've started doing over the last 3 years, but this year we did, was we do an annual MLK Day, Unity Day in our community. And normally it was just in our neighborhood, but this was the first year we invited our Anglo brothers and sisters from across the city, as well as more of our African-American brothers and sisters from across the city, all from the suburbs and everywhere into our little, you know, neighborhood, because we wanted to foster this unity. Well, this year we did that. And there was an Anglo sister who was there, and she came to me afterwards. So all day long, we have speeches of Martin Luther King playing while we do community service and clean up. Then we honor somebody in the neighborhood. So Martin Luther King, he's got 4 or 5 sermons and messages playing. So Anglo sister and a mid-aged woman comes to me, and she says, you know, I did not know Dr. King had so many speeches. I mean, all I ever heard of was, I have a dream. And I told her, you know, I love listening to Dr. But as she told me this, I saw one of our members in the background roll their eyes and like, typical, typical. But you know, I had to go to them and say, listen, we need to be gentle here. See, listen, Dr. King is everything to you and me, but that's because of our experience. But here we've invited a sister to come to our neighborhood, and she has acknowledged that she's ignorant. That's why she's here. But when she manifests that, we want to be critical. No, now is the time to put our arms around her and say, listen, let me introduce you to the whole world of Dr. Martin Luther King. Let me tell you about all his speeches and all these things. And sometimes there's more that God wants to do through putting around the arms and being gentle. In a moment where we could easily be very critical. Well, we could easily say, well, you ought to know that. You ought to have more sense than that. When God says, no, I'm asking you to walk in a spirit of gentleness, to love one another in the body of Christ so that I can do what I want to do with you. He says, thirdly, patience. Patience is believing God's timetable and being all right with it. No matter what it is. Abraham received God's promises, but it was years before someone would manifest it. God told Noah to build the ark, and he didn't send the rain till many years later. See, patience is that third ingredient. After you've shown him humility, maybe you've shown a little gentleness, now you got to sit back and do nothing and wait on God. That brother or sister in the body that just works your nerve, that you find yourself easily in conflict with, God says, be patient, long-suffering, because I am with you. Because think about how quick he could get frustrated with you and I. How many times have you failed him? How many times have you let him down? How many times have you gone back on your word? How many times have you said, "This God, this is the last time. You do this one. If you do this one, I'll serve you for the rest of my days." Who knew the rest of your days was a week later? You see what I'm saying? When it comes to us, it's all mercy. It's all, come on, Lord, come on, Lord. You know, you a merciful God. But when it comes to your brother and sister, I'm so sick of them. I'm so sick and tired of them. How many times we done been through this? Over and over and over. Now, the first time, I might can let them slide. Second time, but see, now this third time, I know they meant it. Come on now, I want to be real with you. God says, sometimes I need you to do all you can do and then sit back and let me do all I can do. But the only way I can do all I can do is when your hands are off of it. When your hands are off of it. Let me tell you something. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's on your job. See, because even though this is what Paul gives us and how we can bring unity, but see, you can also minister to people like this. See, oftentimes we think the words are what people get saved, what get people to come to the Lord. They're powerful. But see, what people do, they look. See, it's the eyes that tell people the truth. That's what tell people whether it's the real deal. I never forget when I gave my life to the Lord at Texas Southern University, I went from one day chasing females and getting drunk to the next day serving God. And my homeboys was like, nah, man. Nah, boss. Nah, Dave, we were just with you last week, Doc. No. And I tried to explain it to him. I said, man, I don't know what happened, but I'm telling you, I'm different. I'm telling you. But you know what? I told him over and over and over again. But you know what? It wasn't until one of my guys came to me. He said, Dave, I've been watching you. He said, man, I've been looking at you, Dave. I've been looking at you when these girls walk by. See what you were going to do. Man, I've been watching you in the corner, seeing what you're talking about. He said, man, you are different. See, my words, I was telling them all day long. But it's what people see. And when they see people in the body of Christ love each other in this way, it says, man, what they got that I ain't got? What enables you to do what you do in the midst of all? I know how brother so-and-so treated you. I know how sister so-and-so, or I know what that person over there did. How is it you can still walk in that manner? Because you understand and you've been called, what you've been called to and how you've been called to walk. But it takes some patience. Because, Lord, you got to work in me and you may want to work in somebody else. And oftentimes we think God needs to work on the other person when more times than not, it's them four fingers, them three fingers pointed back at you is where God wants to do the work. Amen. And then lastly, he says in that passage, showing tolerance for one another in love. If humility, gentleness, and patience are the ingredients, showing tolerance is the oven that they must go in. Because I can do all those things, but at some point, I gotta put it in the oven and let that stuff cook. You know, I like to do a little barbecuing. I just built me a cinder block pit in my backyard. I'm gonna put me a whole hog in there before the summer's over. Invite all my neighbors to come over and eat with me. But you know, one of the first rules about barbecuing, if you looking, it ain't cooking. You can't be lifting that thing up every 5 minutes to see if it's cooking. You got to put it in there and you got to let it do what it does. If you keep looking at it, you making the heat come out, you got to let it go. See, sometimes when God's called us to walk in the spirit of unity, we want to spend all our, okay, God, you done with that yet? You done did what you going to do yet? God, did you work on that person yet? God, are you done? God said, let it alone. Let it cook. I'll do what I'm going to do. I'm going to make happen what I want to see happen. So if all those things are the ingredients, tolerance, which means the ability to accept the existence of opinions or behaviors that don't agree with yours. See, everybody in the body can't be the same. Everybody can't be the same. Let me tell you another quick story. So my best friend in the ministry, his name is Kirk Craig. Kirk is as white can be. He don't mind me telling you this. We talk all the time. He's from the good side of the tracks, from a very influential background and prosperous background. I'm from a middle-class background. He probably almost graduated cum laude in his class. I graduated, thank you, Lordy. You know what I'm saying? We're complete opposites. He's a very process thinker. He's got to know everything, every detail. I need to know how you feel. I need the vibe of the situation. I don't need all the details. I need to know just how. Give me the vibe and I can tell you where to go. We are wired completely different. He is white, I'm black. But God has put us together, ordained us to work together to rebuild this inner city community. We live a block apart. He has moved his family there, and we work together. Well, we started working together in about 07, 08, and about 2010 or 11 or so, we were on a conference trip in Waco, Texas. And you know, I had heard Kirk say a few things, Pastor. I'm like, I don't know if I agree with that. I might see it a little different than that. But you know, I didn't say nothing, you know. But we were in this car coming home from the conference, and I had heard him say some things at this conference that I didn't necessarily agree with. So I said, you know what? We building this relationship. I'm gonna dig in a little bit. I'm gonna ask him about this. So as we got in the car, I said, I've heard you say a few things. What you mean when you say this? You know, and so we started having this discussion. So this discussion started off as a nice little warm conversation. Then it moved to a nice little simmer. Then it got to a nice little boil. Then it got to all out fish grease. It was hot in there. We were going at it. I mean, arguing and yelling. I'm so glad it was then, because I might have got pulled over and tased. Well, if they'd have saw me and argued with them right now, they might have yanked us over. So we arguing, and I'm like, what you mean you see it like this? And we're talking about the issues that we work with as we work together. I'm like, that's wrong, brother. That's not how you do this. This is not how you rebuild. We going at it. But something funny happened. As he argued with me and I argued with him, as we made our way into the city, the Holy Spirit came into this car, and I began to realize something I never realized. This brother was different from me, and he saw things different than me, but he was after the same goal, with the same passion, serving the same Lord. And for the first time, I began to see some things through his eyes. He began to see some things through my eyes. Now, listen, neither one of us changed our opinion, but we grew a greater affection for the other's point of view. And what I realized even more so was, man, I love this brother more than I did when I got in this car. I love him because of his difference. And we spend so much time trying to twist other folks to think just like us and be like us. But let me tell you something. Unity is not sameness or likeness. It's oneness of purpose. Yeah. See, if we have the same purpose, then we're unified. Yeah. See, everybody think because, well, you act like me, you think like me, you dress like me, we must know. Uh-uh. Because let me tell you something. I don't even have that sometimes in my own household. And we all look alike and dress alike sometimes. So it ain't sameness or likeness, it's oneness of purpose. And if we as the body of Christ would accept and recognize those who move with God's purpose, and that's who I'm unified with. They might be white, they might be black, they might be Asian, they might be Hispanic. I don't care what color you are, if you're walking in the purposes of God, then we're unified. That's where my unity is. Now let me tell you something. Don't amen too quick. Don't amen too quick, because let me tell you something. This right here will get you talked about. See, this right here will get you talked about. Because let me tell you what folks say about me sometimes. Now, let me just tell you. I love being black. I love it. I love the culture. I love the people. That's why I went to a black university. And I got there, and I married the blackest woman I could. Got 4 black children. I love being black. I can tell you where my folks came from in slavery, how they got to Texas, what part of Africa I'm from. The DNA test says I'm 92% African, and I'm proud about it. Love it. Big nose, big lips, I love it all. But all my pride as a black man is a drop in the bucket when it comes to the body of Christ. Because, see, that's where my lineage is, redeemed in Christ. Now, he's given me a uniqueness and a perspective as a black man that I can bring to the body. But lest I forget, it's the body is where my homage is. To Christ is where homage is. But let me tell you something. See, a lot of folks, I've had folks in Houston, they don't like the fact that I work with white folks. Don't like the fact that I have an association across multiracial lines. In fact, on time, I've been called a sellout. But you know what? You know, back in the day, that would mean me and you rolling around in the grass a little bit. You ain't gonna come at my blackness. But you know what I've learned? I've learned this. I agree with him. I tell him, you know what? I am a sellout. You know why? You know what makes me a sellout? Because 20 years, I've been married to the same woman. Got all my kids with that woman. Gave my life to the Lord at 19 and been serving him ever since. Not perfectly, but the best of my ability. You know what? I am a sellout because I sold out to Jesus a long time ago. I sold out a long time ago. And when I gave it to him, let me tell you something. I planted my church in the middle of Third Ward Chocolate City. Do you know my church is almost half white? Let me tell you something. When they started coming to the door, I was like, hold up, wait a minute, how this is happening? I'm a black man in a black community. How is half my church white? God said, David, I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to do something here. Shut your mouth and do what I told you to do. But God, when I envisioned my church, we were going to be rocking it like y'all was rocking up here. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking we're going to be. God said, no, this is my church. You don't have a church. This is my church. I do what I want to do. I do it how I feel like doing it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And as I begin to walk through this, I begin to see something. See, when you want to walk in full unity of God, you don't know where that's going to take you. And you don't know because you're not in charge. I'm not in charge. He's in charge. But some of us, I'm going to be real with you now. See, some of us as black folks will say, no. Well, God, if that's the church you're building, then I can't do that. God, wait a minute, God, you gonna ask me to speak up and say something against what black folks say? Well, if it ain't what he says, yeah. I will. Yeah. Because let me tell you something. Out of the spirit of unity, I'm called to stand with God even when I have to stand against what popular opinion says. Yeah. Even if I have to stand alone, I'm called to stand with God. Yeah. And even when I gotta tell my own people, you're wrong. Yeah. You don't treat people like that. Yeah. And even when Kirk, my buddy, we going to play. He talked to his folks sometimes. I got to talk to my folks. And he tell them, you're wrong. Yeah. You can't treat people like that. Hello. But sometimes black folk, we don't want to say that to each other. Because we don't want to be called a sellout. A Uncle Tom. Whatever it might be called. But let me tell you something. I tell people all the time. Jesus was humiliated, beat, whipped, stripped naked, hung on a cross. If he can take that from me, call me sellout all you want to. Call me all the times you want to. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And God wants everybody in the body to understand you are unified, one Lord, one Christ, one body, one faith, one hope, one baptism. But that's through him, not through your blackness. That's through him, not through someone's whiteness. That's through him, not through somebody's Hispanic heritage. It's through him. Why is this important? Because, see, we are living in such a disunified society like I've never seen in my life. We are disunified all across on every line. Men versus women, old versus young, gay versus straight, black versus white, left versus right. You can all of them. And the sad thing about it is the body of Christ has gotten caught up in all of that and forgotten him. Thus we forgotten ourselves, thus we have forgotten him. Hey, listen, whatever you're passionate about, ain't nothing wrong with that. God probably wired you like that and made you like that. You be passionate about what he's given you a call for and a heart for and to be an activist. Well, ain't nothing wrong with that. But it's only one problem. If you more crunk about your activism than you are the gospel, we got a problem. If you more crunk about your culture than you are the gospel, it's going to lead you down the wrong path. Let me tell you something. What this world needs to see like never before, and this is what I've come to tell you, Agape Christian Center. The body of Christ needs to be unified according to the Savior. Yes, and the world needs to see that now. People are losing their minds because we're so disunified as a society. What better time for the church to rise up and say, we've got the answer. Yes, sir. We have the answer. Because we are unified through the body of Christ. Uh-huh. Not because we're rich, not because we're poor, not because we're from here or there, not because we all think alike, because we don't, but because we found oneness of purpose through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Body, church folks, if we can get this, do you know what kind of ministry can take place in our society today? You won't have to go and tell nobody. They see you keeping your mind, they're going to want to know what's going on with you. Why you ain't going crazy? How you keeping it together? Because I found my purpose in him. And I found where my unity exists in him. See, Christians don't have to create unity. It already exists. We found it in our Lord and Savior. He goes on to say in verses 4-6, the church is one body. Verse 4-6, there is one body, one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Church obeys one spirit. The church lives in light of one hope. The church receives salvation and its marching orders from one Lord. The church proclaims one faith. Membership in the church comes through one baptism. And the final element of spiritual unity is one God. The worship of one and only one God is what will always bring us together. And we can never forget that. And if we walk in that, and if we keep that, we can minister and be a light in the world like no time other before. But if we lose ourselves in the petty arguments of the world and let the world's foolishness influence the church instead of the church influencing the world, we are called to be here as a consciousness to our society. They ought to look at us and say, okay, that's the direction we go. Because the body has it. But you know, and there's a scene in the movie The Titans, one of my children's other favorite movies, when they had disunity on their team and they were falling apart and the two captains were arguing and one of them was blaming the other, and he looked at him and said, attitude reflects leadership. Look, church, if we don't like what we see, if we feel like it's all crumbling around us, God's called us to have dominion in this world. He's called us to lead. If it's falling apart, that means we're not at our post. We're not at our gates. We're not being the influencer that we should be. We should reflect the attitude that affects our society. Some people say, well, Pastor, that's all great, but where do I start? Where does it all begin? And I'm going to bring this to a close. But I'd encourage you this. If you're going to start anywhere, you first start with your own heart. Let me tell you something. When God started doing what he was doing in our church, I knew it was good, but there was something uneasy in my heart about it. And as I sat with the Lord, he began to deal with me. I mean, I would get up early and get in my office, and tears would flow because I knew my heart was not right. There was still a little bitterness in my heart. And I didn't have time to go into it. You know, some of my buddies who I played ball with, you know, there were some racial things that happened to me and happened to some of us when I played high school football. We had some racial tension, and there was a lot of anger and bitterness. And when I left that situation, and that one of the reasons I went to TSU, because I'm like, I want to be around my people. I'm tired of being around y'all. But see, I thought I had gotten healed of that when I got saved, but here I got to this next thing, and I couldn't walk in full unity because there was still some residue. And in my heart. And as God began to do what he was doing, I knew it was good, but I still couldn't buy in. God began to deal with me first. He began to say, David, you've got to get rid of that. Because this is my body. These are my people. You don't have the right to hold bitterness against nobody. Because I don't hold no bitterness to you. So let it go, son.
If you let it go, son, I'm gonna do something special. Yeah. I'm gonna do something you couldn't imagine. But I need you to clear your heart. And as I began, it took me a while. I'm talking about I had some sessions. But he did it. He did it. And God, you may have something in your heart that may keep you from walking in unity, in true unity. Allow God to work with you first. Can you bring it to your home? See, one of the reasons we can't walk in unity as a body of Christ in society is because we can't walk in unity at home. We so disunified at home, it's crazy. You do what you want to do, I do what I want to do. You spend your money, I spend my money. You live your life, I live my life. God's called you to be one. You marry that person, two become one. You got to walk in unity. Then you bring that unity from your personal life to your home. You bring it to the church, and then you take it to the world. All because you serve one Lord. So you're not going to get this anywhere else. I'm going to be honest with you. You can read all the books you want to. You can go all the, you can Google all the speakers online you want to. You can go all the seminars you want to. I'm not saying there's not good stuff out there, but I'm saying if you want to walk in unity, he's already given it to you. He's already given it to you. The answer is ours already. All you have to do is put it on and walk in it. And if you do Agape Christian Center, because I'm telling you this because the Lord may do something, he may want to do something with you so different than he's done somewhere else. He might want to do it. But when he does it, it might feel uncomfortable at first. You might not be as cool as you used to be. Some people might call you a few things. I'm telling you, whether it's in your personal life or in the body of your church, just know you're called by one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's his church. It's his will. He does what he wants to. And if he takes you in a different direction, submit your heart to it and watch God do something spectacular. Let me tell you something as I close, and I said that before, but I mean it this time. I invited my dad here this morning. He keeps me accountable. He makes sure I stay online. But let me tell you something, in our church, as I told you, we're a blended congregation, and that's work. Some days I just want to get up. I want to sing Fred Hammond. I want to sing a little Kurt Carr. And then I want to wrap it up with maybe a little Yolanda Adams. But that's cool for half the church. And the other half is learning, but they ain't there yet. So they need a little Chris Tomlin. You know, they need a little Carrie Jo. You know what I'm saying? So we got to mix all that thing in there. And everybody's got to humble themselves a little bit. And everybody's got to be a little patient. And everybody's got to be a little gentle because we're trying to walk out something we've all never tried to walk out before. But would you know what we found? Oh, yes. You know how that brisket is when you pull it out of the oven, when you leave it in there just right? When you get that brisket out and it's oozing. You know what I'm saying? With the fat side up and you know it's right. See, that's what we're starting to see a little bit of. I done peeked in there a few times. I know I told you not to look, but I had to look just a little bit. Just a little bit. And it's starting to look right. It's starting to look right. It's got a feel to how that kingdom is supposed to look. So I know we're moving in the right direction. But it's not always easy. But God has blessed us. Not because we got a lot of money. Not because we got a big building. Not because I got something I can show you we can be proud of. He's blessed us with his spirit. He's blessed us with his presence. He's blessed us to know you're doing what I've called you to do and you're all right with me. I'm gonna dwell with you. I'm going to be with you because you're trying to do it the way I've asked you to. Agape Christian Center, I don't know what God has in store for you, but you're 3 years in. You're doing a wonderful and blessed work. Whatever he has for you, however he calls you to it, I just encourage you this morning, keep the spirit of unity. Amen. To one Lord and one faith, one baptism and one God, and he will do a wonderful work in you. Amen, and I thank you for having me with you. God bless you.